Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Hi, I'm Althea Billings. Today on Cable News In Depth, I'm speaking with Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Shamia Fagan. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today, Shamia. You're running for Secretary of State, and folks most commonly associate that office with the administration of elections. We are now less than 2 weeks out from Election Day, and anxieties related to voting and the safety of our elections are pretty high. Now, in Oregon, we have had mail-in voting for a generation, so the attacks we have seen nationally on that system don't necessarily ring true. However, a story broke today from a crisis mapping group called ACLED that lists Oregon as a state that is at risk for militia activity around the election. What does Oregon do well when it comes to safe and fair elections, and where should we look to improve?
Well, first off, folks are correct to associate this office, the Secretary of State's office, with running elections. In fact, I think of the 50 Secretaries of State, 49 of them in the country administer elections. Other duties that Oregon has may not be shared across other secretaries of state, but this one is one that we all share. So it's something that's very high up, and I would consider it the most important role of Oregon's Secretary of State. Oregon has done vote by mail for over 20 years. In fact, I've never voted any other way. I remember when I was still in high school out in Wasco County in the Dalles, my dad voting for the first time with vote by mail when I still lived with him. And so this is what we have done well, which is really the model for the nation. Number one, we have a paper trail. So for every ballot, we have a paper trail. So they're easily audited. Number two, we have forensic signature verification, which means that when somebody signs the back of that that envelope, they have to then match that signature, and they use forensic signature verification. And we give folks an opportunity to fix it if their signature has changed from when they first registered to vote and they're signing their ballot now, which happened to me during the 2008 election when I voted for President Obama. Number three, we have a unique barcode tracking system. So every ballot that is turned in, even if folks were to get multiple ballots because say a ballot came late and so they had ordered another one, people can only turn in one ballot because every registered voter has a unique barcode tracking tag that would show that their ballot has been received and counted. And then number four, we don't connect our counting machines to the internet. So we don't have to worry about anybody that seeks to do harm actually hacking our system because they're not connected to the internet. So those are the things that Oregon has done really, really well. The places where we can do better are, number one, we need to increase the security of our online voter registration system. While we do meet the federal standards right now, let's do better than the federal minimum, right? Let's make sure that this system that allows for online voter registration, online ballot tracking, online address updating, that we make sure that is not susceptible to any kind of hacking. Number two, I think that we should allow ballots that are postmarked by Election Day to be counted as they do in other states that do vote by mail. And number three, I believe that we should allow same-day voter registration for folks that decide, you know, late in the game to register, newly moved to Oregon, or in a primary that decide they want to actually vote for a particular candidate so they could register for that party. And then the other thing that we need to do that I think would really be helpful in this election is ballot tracking. So in three of our 36 counties, Multnomah, Marion, and Yamhill, folks can actually opt in to get a text message when their ballot has been received. And I've been seeing people put screenshots of that all over Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, because that comfort, okay, my ballot has been received, my ballot has been counted. And so that's something I think we should implement in all 36 Oregon counties.
Looking past the election next year, states will be asked to redraw their electoral districts based on the 2020 census. When your Republican opponent, Kim Thatcher, was interviewed on KABU, she alluded to the fact that you, as a Democrat, would not lead a fair redistricting commission. What is your response to that?
Well, that she's the only person between the two of us who, as a politician, actually voted yes to draw her own district's boundaries back in 2011. And of course, she drew herself a nice, safe Republican district in the House and the Senate that she's never had any kind of real competition, because there's so many more Republicans than Democrats in that district. So between the two of us, she's the only one who has voted to give herself a very safe district where she is not able to be challenged. I have been independent from my party in multiple times. I've been the lone no vote in my party on multiple occasions. In fact, in endorsing me, the Bend Bulletin wrote that I have been willing to buck my party's establishment to do what I believe in right is right. And redistricting is one of those places, because despite potentially having the authority to unilaterally redistrict, as secretaries of state have done in the past, I have already committed to using a nonpartisan people's commission that would be independent from me. I would, you know, obviously make sure that they were doing the complying with the law, but the Constitution and ORS Chapter 188 that lays out the requirements for redistricting, but that I would use a people's commission that's rooted in racial equity. Because one of the things that distinguishes me from Senator Thatcher is I've definitely been willing to recognize, the ways in which our country has failed communities of color and BIPOC folks. And one of those ways, when we're talking about the redistricting, we also were talking about the census. And when we talk about the census, we have to recognize that when our country was first founded, not all human beings were counted in the census as full people because of the three-fifths compromise. And so that is something that I think is really important. So any people's commission that we use to do redistricting has to be rooted in racial equity and historically underrepresented communities.
Oregon's current Secretary of State is Bev Clarno, a Republican who was appointed to finish the term started by Dennis Richardson. If you win, Democrats will have control of both houses of the state legislature, the governorship, and the Secretary of State. And that trifecta has worried opponents who fear their voice may not be heard in state government. What would you say to them? How does bipartisanship or even nonpartisanship play a role in the Secretary of State's office?
Well, as a democracy, nobody has control. In fact, Senator Thatcher is a Republican senator from the Kaiser area. And if I'm to win the Secretary of State's office, she'll continue to represent her district as a Republican senator. And there are many, many Republican senators and Republican members of the House. Just to be clear, those folks are at the table. They're typically vice chairs of committees. They have full staff and full availability to participate in the process. But in a democracy, Oregonians get to choose the leaders who reflect their values. And I think what folks are seeing in this election is that Senator Thatcher, particularly when it comes to voting rights, when it comes to issues of equity, she simply does not share values with Oregonians. I mean, I, on the one hand, don't believe that expanding voting rights, for example, should be a partisan issue. So when we voted for things like automatic voter registration or prepaid postage that certainly benefit more rural areas, that some of them tend to vote Republican, Senator Thatcher voted against those expansions of democracy. Fortunately, across the country, as people have adopted automatic voter registration, now Republican legislatures and Republican governors have signed that into law. But here in Oregon, Senator Thatcher voted with her party against those expansions of democracy. So the bottom line is, I don't believe that any political party, Republican or Democrat, deserves a position of leadership in Oregon. What Oregonians deserve is a debate on the issues and to see the differences between the candidates and to choose the candidate who most reflects their values on accessing democracy, which is why almost every newspaper in the state, I believe only one small paper has endorsed her. Every other paper, from the East Oregonian to the Willamette Week to the Portland Mercury to the Scanner News, including down in Southern Oregon and up in the northwestern tip of Oregon, Astoria, have endorsed me because they recognize that I am more in line with Oregon values when it comes to expanding access to democracy.
The Secretary of State in Oregon also oversees the audit division. The Oregon Employment Department has been under a lot of scrutiny since the pandemic has forced so many out of their jobs. In your platform, you've said that the Secretary of State in its audit capacity can help that situation. How would that work?
Well, first off, the Oregon Employment Department, which of course oversees the unemployment insurance program, is absolutely right to face scrutiny. Let me be clear. It is absolutely unacceptable that so many Oregonians who have paid into this payroll tax, this insurance benefit, their entire working lives, many folks, this is the first time they've ever had to access it. And yet many folks are still waiting for their checks. If they're still not waiting for them, they were waiting for months for those checks. And so I am proud to be the only one between Senator Thatcher and myself who voted in favor of making sure folks can't be evicted from their homes that are renters during the COVID crisis, that folks can't be foreclosed on by their mortgage companies during the COVID crisis. Senator Thatcher voted against those, allowing folks to be kicked out of their homes. Fortunately, the majority was with me, but there's no moratorium on paying your grocery bill. There's no moratorium on putting gas in the car or paying for your prescription medications or getting your grandkids, you know, a birthday gift or paying childcare. And so it is unacceptable. And so I have committed, in fact, we have a commercial out right now talking about, look, I understand what it's like for families to be hanging on by a thread. And I think that the audits division is the most powerful tool the Secretary of State has to make sure that our policies reflect our values. And when it comes to the Oregon Employment Department, that will be the first audit that I will pursue as Secretary of State, not only finding out what went wrong in 2020, but we're gonna go deeper. We're gonna say what went wrong in previous years when there have already been audits of the Oregon Employment Department with strong recommendations that could have prevented this situation. Why weren't those recommendations followed? We're gonna also audit that to find out what can we do as Secretary of State to make sure that recommendations are followed through.
Let's talk about your work as a state legislator. You've served both in the Oregon House of Representatives and in the state Senate. When you think about your achievements, what are you most proud of?
Well, as I've already mentioned, I've been at the forefront of every major expansion of access to democracy, from automatic voter registration to working with Republicans to pass the National Popular Vote Compact over the objection of the three most powerful Democrats in the Senate. But I believed it was the right thing to do. And then prepaid postage most recently. All of those relate directly to the Secretary of State's office. But the first bill that I ever was the chief co-sponsor of was actually the bill to create the Office of Small Business Assistance right in the Secretary of State's office. That was my first bill as a freshman legislator to make sure that small businesses have that advocate in the Secretary of State's office. And I'm proud to say that that program is not only going well, it is actually internationally acclaimed as a program that really helps small businesses have that one-stop shop to call if they're having any problems with permitting, or if they get a letter in the mail from a government agency and they don't know what it means, or even in private disputes or interactions. So I'm very proud of that. But for the most part, I have spent my term working on things like, as I just mentioned, small businesses, helping folks access democracy, but also helping families that are hanging on by a thread. That's kind of how I grew up. My dad was a single parent. My mom battled meth and opioid addiction. Both my dad and my mom, we battled homelessness as a family. And so I have spent my career fighting for other families that are hanging on by a thread. And so I've been proud to vote in favor of raising the minimum wage. I've been proud to vote in favor of paid sick leave for Oregon workers, the things that Senator Thatcher voted against. I've been proud to help lead the efforts on things like, reasonable gun safety regulations. Having grown up in rural Oregon, it's simply a myth that folks don't think we should have background checks on gun sales, which I was proud to support. Senator Thatcher not only voted no on that, but she was seen at a rally shouting, "I will not comply," basically saying she won't follow the law when it comes to something as simple as background checks on gun sales. So when it comes to my service in the legislature, I've been doing things to help Oregon families help small businesses thrive, help people access democracy, and help Oregon families be safer through gun safety regulation and expanded health care.
The Secretary of State in Oregon is an office with a lot of different responsibilities, some of which we've touched on, and the 2020 election in general is complicated and there's a lot to take in as a voter. What's one issue in this race that you think doesn't get quite enough attention?
I would say that it's the State Land Board, because that is a constitutional responsibility of the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State, the governor, and the treasurer sit on the State Land Board, which oversees, in large part, the Common School Fund, which is some unclaimed property, but mostly it's lands that were given to Oregon when we became a state in 1859. And one of the major pieces of land that the State Land Board oversees is the Elliott Forest, which is our largest old growth forest, about 82,000 acres on Oregon's central coast. And there have been efforts in the past from private timber companies to buy this 82,000 acre Oregon treasure and, of course, chop it up and so they could make money. And Senator Thatcher is supported by those timber companies that want to do that. But I'm so proud to have gone into the meeting with those timber companies. And when they asked me about that, I said unequivocally, I'm going to give you the same answer that I would give a room full of environmental activists, which is I will not sell the Elliott Forest to private logging interests. I believe it should be publicly owned with public recreation access, habitat conservation, and then, of course, reasonable logging when that can be sustained with the habitat and the recreation. And so I think the State Land Board's position is overlooked often, but it's really, really important. Oregon has a long history of conservation values, and I'm proud to be endorsed by both the Sierra Club and the Oregon League of Conservation Voters.
Finally, why should voters elect you as the next Oregon Secretary of State?
Well, voters have a clear choice in this election. If folks have been paying attention, watching the debates, even these interviews on KBOO, they're going to see they have a choice between someone who has spent her legislative career voting with her party to restrict access to democracy and someone who has led the fight to expand access. Somebody who has stayed silent when the president and his allies have spread misinformation and conspiracy theories that undermine public health and our democracy. And someone in me who has stood up to those lies. And somebody who is really propped up by right-wing organizations like Oregon Firearms Federation, the anti-vaccine movement, the anti-choice movement like Senator Thatcher, and someone who's supported by the organizations and folks that Oregonians have been trusting for decades. I'm very proud to be endorsed by Senators Merkley and Wyden, by the American Postal Workers Union, by Planned Parenthood, by the Oregon teachers and firefighters and nurses and healthcare workers who have been on the front lines of this COVID crisis. But I'm not done until I can add all of your listeners to that list. And so my name is Shamia Fagan, and I'm asking for your vote either in November or in October, whenever you and your family sit down to vote safely by mail here in Oregon.
That was my conversation with Democratic candidate for Oregon Secretary of State, Shamia Fagan. A reminder that Oregonians must mail in their ballots by October 28th or drop them off at an official drop box location by Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings. Thanks for listening.